My name is Victor Kubik. Thank you for joining us on Inside United, another edition. And today we have a guest who is right here from the home office. He is Operation Manager for Media at the United Church of God and for Beyond Today. He is also a minister. He's also a very good friend, somebody I've known for many years, and we've worked together. His name is Peter Eddington. We're happy to have him here on the podcast. Welcome, Peter.
Hey, thanks very much, Vic. Glad to be here with you.
But we'll be talking today about an article in the November-December 2019 edition of Beyond Today, and he has the headline article, which is entitled "The Problem with Evolution and the Return of God." So welcome, Peter. We want to talk about your article, and we're very grateful to have you explain some of what you have here. Tell us from the outset where we're going.
Yeah, thanks, Vic. So in many respects, the article is talking about origin of life. And the question is, has origin of life been explained by scientists, in particular by the theory of evolution? And the answer is no. Origin of life has never been explained by evolution, by Darwinism, by neo-Darwinism. Now, let me read to you a quote from Wikipedia, okay?
Okay.
Under the heading abiogenesis. So origin of life is scientifically called abiogenesis, before biology, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says abiogenesis, or informally, the origin of life, is the natural process by which life has arisen from non-living matter, such as simple organic compounds. So it says like it's a fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it continues, while the details of this process are still unknown, the prevailing scientific hypothesis is that the transition from non-living to living entities was not a single event, but an evolutionary process of increasing complexity that involved molecular self-replication, self-assembly, autocatalysts, and the emergence of cell membranes.
Sounds pretty simple.
So, yeah. So, Wikipedia will tell you this, and high school curricula, high school and college textbooks will tell you that evolution has an explanation for origin of life, but it's completely false. Evolution has never explained origin of life.
Mm-hmm.
And no scientist has ever been able to create life in a test tube or in a lab at all. It has never been done, no matter what you've been told. And so what I believe, what you believe, of mm-hmm. course, is that origin of life comes from the Creator God.
Right. And that you make that point very, very well in that, you know, you can have things develop, but the origin itself, the introduction or the creation of it, I mean, whether it's created by God or however they figured it, there was a point at which it started.
Right.
And you kind of go back, how did it start?
Right. And I believe that the theory of evolution is actually going to eventually become unpopular. And, of course, eventually not be believed at all one day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the conclusion of the article, which is the return of God. Then all bets are off, and evolution will be obviously seen to be false when the Creator comes to it back to Earth.
When I read through this article, Peter, to me, the strongest point for making me really kind of buy into it was the logic is just it's had to have a beginning someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And you mm-hmm. bring up some things about even the origins of even the simple bacterium and all the things that are necessary for it and what all possibilities had to be in play, showing that the overwhelming odds against something like this developing what we have now and developing my life and your life and the ability for us even to talk here today.
Right. And so scientists have not even been able to create the simplest bacterium,
mm-hmm.
like you said. The simplest bacterium contains 256 protein-coding genes, 256. And even with all the chemicals available to scientists, give them all the pieces they need, they still could not build the simplest germ.
Mm-hmm.
A cell needs amino acids, needs enzymes. But what's interesting is in a prebiotic world, enzymes do not exist. And enzymes themselves are made out of amino acids and proteins. And then you need carbohydrates. Then you need lipids, mm-hmm. nucleic acids, a nucleotide that hooks together with a phosphate group, but that's only done by enzymes. So synthetic organic chemists don't know how to do that before enzymes even existed. So science doesn't know even know how to make all these pieces for a cell, let alone assemble them and actually make the cell. There's a very well-known synthetic organic chemist named James Tour. Mm-hmm. He has an excellent interview on YouTube called The Origin of Life Has Not Been Explained. That's an interesting thing to watch sometime by Dr. James Tour on YouTube. But despite what's being taught in schools, scientists do not know how to do it. Mm-hmm. There's actually quite a big misunderstanding about this, because if you look in high school and college textbooks, they will tell you, as if it's a fact, that life came from a primordial cesspool, pond, right?
I've heard soup.
Soup, yeah. So not from a pristine lab mm-hmm. where scientists are feverishly trying to create life, but from a dirty pond. They say it came slithering out onto dry land. And, of course, what they don't mention is the fact that when this little piece of life came slithering out of the pond, there was already grass there, apparently. Where did the grass come from? Grass is alive. Grass has life. And so how did the grass evolve to begin with? What was this little bug going to eat? What was it eating in the soup? Mm-hmm. What was it eating in the primordial pond? Something. So where did all that come from? So scientists has not been able to explain origin of life.
There seems to be something just very fundamentally wrong with the mentality of human beings. I mean, the logic should tell you that there's something really wrong with just some of the mm-hmm. evidence right there. I mean, if you had evidence like this for any other hypothesis or theory, you know, you'd be shot out of the saddle. You know, you don't have enough evidence. Mm-hmm. This thing is crazy. This thing doesn't make sense. And yet evolution and delving into the area of the origin of life seems to live on no matter how many times it gets battered down. There seems to be, there is just a hatred of being able to admit that there's a God. We're kind of getting close to a nerve here. The closer it gets to some intelligent design, even, which they hate to talk about, there seems to be a hatred and a resistance towards it.
Yeah, and so the theory of evolution is a theory. And it's actually a pretty bad theory at that. Mm-hmm. Most theories have to rise to a much higher level of certainty and evidence than what the theory of evolution and the origin of life espouses. Here's what I think should be done. Did you ever buy a new car and 12 months later you got a note in the mail saying that something had been recalled? Mm-hmm. You know, the brakes may fail under pressure, or the seat belts could come unlatched. You need to come back and get new seat belts. Or, you know, there's some sensor under the bonnet, under the hood, that it could fail. So it's a free, fix. Mm-hmm. Take it back to the Ford dealership, back to the Chevrolet dealership, and they fix it. Well, I think it's time for a recall on the textbooks that are in our high schools and universities today. Because the true science and the evidence is showing that the theory of evolution is deeply flawed, and their theory on the beginning of life is deeply flawed. And even as science changes and new understandings come along, they don't change what's in those old textbooks. They're still in the libraries. They're still on the shelves for students to go look at. They've never been updated properly, even when new science comes along. So you've still got those funny pictures of this little ape man turning into a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, they've never updated those.
But there's just a resistance to it that is inexplainable.
Yeah, it's kind of like with the political scene today. People just get this thing and they just hate the one party or the other. And it's almost unreasonable hate. Mm-hmm. And it's almost an unreasonable hate against a God as a creator as well. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most often stated ideas about evolution is that just given enough time, mm-hmm. just given enough time, this could have all evolved and life could have sparked mm-hmm. in this primordial soup, this primordial pond, mm-hmm. A bolt of lightning or something, and then could have sparked life. Given enough time, given billions of years, so scientists say the universe is perhaps 13 or 14 billion years old. They say maybe our Earth is 4 billion years old. So given enough time, all these things sort of come together.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual fact of that is that time works against this idea of evolution. And here's some of the reasons. And that is that time is an enemy, not a friend, of organic synthesis. One of the building blocks of life is a carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm.
It's essential for life is a carbohydrate. And many of the chemicals like this that are needed for life are kinetic products, meaning they're not thermodynamically stable.
Mm-hmm.
So carbohydrates, one of the building blocks of life, is also a kinetic product. And carbohydrates decompose over a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You leave a piece of bread out, it gets moldy real quick, and then it's useless. And it actually turns into something else if you leave it out long enough. You leave sugar out, and it will decompose. These carbohydrates are kinetic products. So if by chance a carbohydrate happened to form somewhere in the universe by accident, by chance, within a day or two, it'd be no longer viable.
You gotta start all over.
Right. And so somewhere else in the universe would have to try and come up with this carbohydrate. Of course, carbohydrates are just one of the many things needed for a cell to mm-hmm. function. But to think that a little carbohydrate would wait around for billions of years for the other building blocks to come along and join it so that a cell could be formed is ridiculous, because a carbohydrate would only last a day or two, an hour or two, a week or two, depending on which one it is. It cannot. So time is an enemy
mm-hmm.
to the chance formation of life, because these things are kinetic and they decompose very quickly. All the various, and carbohydrates is just one example of one of the building blocks of life that is kinetic and decomposes so fast that it would not be able to wait around for long enough for other pieces of life to come along that it needed.
But I understand, too, that they have a workaround is having multiple universes.
Oh.
that's the last gasp of
And multiple universes is actually the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. That actually makes it worse, because what are the chances of one universe coming into existence like ours by chance? Then the chance of multiple universes is even less of a probability.
Mm-hmm.
It's silly. It's one of the most ridiculous things I ever heard is multiverses.
Well, I think that the human race, really, there's something fundamentally wrong in the thinking process that is the biggest thing to be straightened out. Because if that's straightened out, then we can start putting our ducks in order to find out where we came from. And then that would give meaning to who we are, mm-hmm. and that would give a relationship. But they don't want that.
Let me just mention one more thing. And that is probability. It kind of goes along with the idea of time. You know, if you're given enough time, this could have happened by chance. Life could have evolved by chance. Well, probability arguments also actually destroy the chance origin of life.
How's that?
So let me give you one example. The protein interactions in a single yeast cell, very simple yeast cell, protein interactions are 10 to the power of 79 billion combinations. That's a 1, not with 90 zeros, but a 1 with 79 billion zeros after it. So that's the interactome combinations of just one protein. By comparison, the number of elemental particles in the entire universe, every particle in the universe is only 10 to the power of 90. So the chance of just the right protein forming in a yeast cell is less than 1 to the all elemental particles in the entire universe. It's the probability is absolutely ridiculous.
Time for a recall.
And so then that brings us back now to what's the solution, and that is the return of God.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. And so I believe we're fast approaching a time in history when society will return to some kind of a belief in God again. Darwinism, neo-Darwinism, evolution, and materialism have had 160 years since the publication of Origin of Species, The Origin of Species. They've had 160 years, which is actually just a small part of human history, actually. Because people used to believe in God, and the ancient civilizations believed in all kinds of gods.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in the last 150 to 200 years that people have thought of evolution as a plausible explanation. But it's failed abysmally, and that's becoming more and more apparent.
And it seems that with evolution becoming mainstream thought and the age of reason has caused a great degradation, but then people are beginning to find just by being in that particular smell and environment, hey, this isn't working. And now you got to find a way out that you can come out of it honorably, but they're having a hard time coming out of it honorably anyway.
Somebody that I follow, and I know you follow as well, is Dr. Stephen Meyer.
Oh, yes.
Who runs the Discovery Institute in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to his seminars, read his books, you know, watched his videos and podcasts. He was at first a geophysicist and a college professor, but he studied at Yale and Oxford. He's written a number of books, Darwin's Doubt and others. But one that he's publishing later in 2020, his latest book is going to be called The Return of the God Hypothesis. Scientists are seeing that evolution is failing, and there's going to be a return to a hypothesis, not in evolution, but in God. The subtitle is Compelling Scientific Evidence for the Existence of God. And so this book will be coming out next year, The Return of the God Hypothesis. But scientists will tell you that in the universe, everything is made up of energy and matter, which is true. And I believe that God took his energy, his spirit, and formed the physical universe. That energy was formed into matter. But there's energy in everything. You know, you burn a piece of firewood. There's energy in that. And it catches fire and gives you heat and energy. So the whole universe is made up of matter and energy. But Stephen Meyer says, but there's a third component, which is what he's going to bring out in this book. There's a third component, and that is information. And that's not physical. It's not tangible. But there's information in every cell. There's information in every piece of the universe. And what it is the mind of God behind everything. And without that information, things could not exist. Would not know how to form, how to grow, would not hold together. That information is not something tangible or physical. For example, you look at ink on a page and you read words. That's just ink on a page. Those words give you information, but it's just ink on paper or just a sound in your ear. That's information. And that's part of the universe, and it's the mind of God behind everything.
Because information has to come from somewhere. Honestly, somebody has to say it. And then this somebody is the issue right there. And there are codes. I mean, there are coded information. There are trends. There are patterns and all this type of thing. And that's what you find when you get the information.
Right. So the DNA strand is filled with information, as is RNA. Just on the surface of a cell membrane, there is information, actually more than what's in the DNA, they say. And so, yeah, energy, matter, and information. And where did that information come from?
Well, this is so compelling, Peter. But in your article, you point out that will this come to a repentance towards God? Will this lead to people saying, you know, we have forgotten our God, let us return to him just the way the Bible pleads with ancient civilizations, with ancient Israel and so forth? Your article points out that that may not be the answer, and that the outcome of people abandoning Darwinism may not be a good thing necessarily in where they go.
Right. Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because there is growing doubt in the scientific community with evolution. And I could quote a number of scientists that are expressing their doubt. They're not religious people. They're not doubting evolution on religious grounds. They're doubting evolution on scientific grounds. These are not churchgoers. Many of them are even atheists, and they're starting to realize that evolution is flawed. So they're doubting evolution not on religious grounds, but on scientific grounds. And that movement is growing. And places like the Discovery Institute and Stephen Meyer and others are really starting to promote and show the doubt that scientists have with evolution. And so the question is, where will this go? And I believe it will go to some kind of a return to a belief in God as the source of life, mm-hmm. as the creator.
Well, that's good.
And so that it sounds good, right?
Yeah, it does.
It's interesting, if you go to the book of Revelation and go through some of the prophecies of the end time and even tie those together with the book of Daniel, you see a worldwide religion that is pretty much forced on everyone. Book of Revelation talks of this belief system and this political power as like an animal. It says it's a beast, beastly system. And Revelation talks about a religion and a political way being forced upon everybody. Even talks of miracles being done by the leadership that convinces people that they are representing a god. And so I believe that there will be some kind of a reformation of belief in God that may come out of Rome. When you look at history and look at the Bible, may come out of Rome.
Because there's more authority there and tradition or what?
Yeah, there's a history of not of the Roman Empire, but there's a history of what's known as the Holy Roman Empire, which was a church-state combination. Mm-hmm. And Revelation shows that a church-state combination is going to come back in the end time. But it's going to go horribly wrong, actually. And it's not going to be the solution that some people think it might be. Lots of people give their allegiance to this superpower, mm-hmm. give their allegiance, it says for a short time, to this superpower that's backed by a strong religion. So I believe there will be a return to a belief in God. But this system is not the answer either. Mm-hmm. It goes horribly wrong, like I said, and actually oppresses people and enslaves people and is not the ultimate solution to mankind's problems. So evolution may become unpopular, maybe even not allowed to be taught anymore, who knows. But some kind of a return to belief in God is going to come. And it's not going to be pretty in the end. And it will get to the point where Jesus Christ will have to return to save humankind from total destruction. You read about that in Matthew. Christ says, if I didn't come back, no one would be left.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what's just absolutely amazing about the human experience that we're going through, you know, all of us as human beings, is that no matter what man tries to fix, invent, manage, and so forth, seems to go wrong, seems to go south. It doesn't lead to good things. It seems to be something fundamentally wrong in the nature of man.
Yes. And then when Jesus does return, the whole world turns against him and fights him. The beast power, with its huge military and religious backing, actually fights against God. Mm-hmm. So mankind is always actually fighting against the true God, has for thousands of years fought against the true God. So evolution is just one example of that. Not really wanting to have God in your life, not wanting to have to answer to anybody, not having to repent or change.
It appears that that's what really boils down to, is human beings are just unwilling to change from their desires and what they think is right to something revealed to them that promises to mm-hmm. give them everything mm-hmm. they really want, but they don't want that.
Maybe I can kind of give you my final thoughts
sure.
on this. So there is going to be a crisis in the end time, and we ask, what is the ultimate solution to this end time mayhem? God truly will be back, but in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be a return to a false religious system, something like ancient Babylon or out of Rome, but it'll be the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And evolution will be a teaching of the past, and that will be a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something to really be hopeful about and look forward to. We call it the gospel of the kingdom, mm-hmm. the good news of the kingdom, and that will be Christ's ultimate return. And that will be the ultimate return to God.
Well, that's very, very comforting, that God is going to step in and not only fix what the future is, but also bring back and give opportunities to all of us to all of mankind in his great love and his great plan.
Yeah, mankind has been running an experiment for the last 6,000 years since Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
6,000 years of experimentation on belief, on religion, on science, on relationships. But it's all going to be put right when Christ returns.
Peter, it's just been absolutely great having you here on Inside United to talk about some of the things that we talk about here all the time. We talk about these things all every day. Get out the Beyond Today magazine, which you are probably receiving, and read the headline article, The Problem with Evolution and the Return of God, which is certain, but it may have a few steps, yet a few little hiccups before we get there. Thank you, Peter, for coming here on Inside United.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, Vic.
Well, thank you for joining us. You can contact us at podcast@ucg.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd like to hear your comments. Connect to our podcast through your favorite app on Apple or Android and be a regular listener. Thank you for joining us on Inside United. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.